from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Zach and Josh on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here on a very happy Juneteenth. No Sabres Live or One Bills Live today. They'll be back on tomorrow. We're talking, though, the 25th anniversary of no goal as the Buffalo Sabres do lose that series. Stanley Cup final against the Dallas Stars. Brett Hull skating the crease. Fun part is, for me and Josh, we were barely alive during that point. So we're hearing a lot of your thoughts. 803-0550 is the number to call about what you remember from that night, if you talk that series as well. But it's been really interesting, too, because it does kind of – it's far enough away, Josh, too, where I think, like, you really get, like, strong theories getting developed from the night, and kind of like all of a sudden you're on like a Reddit page and everyone's like, yeah, Gary Bettman actually wanted Dallas to win, and that's why, like, it's stuff like that. And I'm not saying anyone is saying it.
No, he did.
There it is.
He did.
He did.
I am one of those. No, I'm just kidding.
But I'm not saying anyone's outright saying it, but like when you're 25 years out, and especially when it took place before, like, you know, the internet boom or social media boom, the social media boom, you will kind of get like those, like, just those theories and that solidify, you know, years later. And that's something that I've always found entertaining about stuff like this. It's why, you know, much worse example, but the JFK assassination. It's why we have like 900 right. documentaries about like three angles of the Zapruder films.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's, like, I find that stuff really, really cool. Let's go back to the phones, though. We've got Sharon on the line. Sharon, how are we doing today?
Oh, we're doing good. Hi, guys. How are you?
Doing very well. Doing very good. Well.
I was at that game, actually, with my kids. My whole family was there. We were on the side where they shot, where Dallas shot the no goal. And as soon as they shot that goal, we thought it was odd because we're like, he's in the crease. And then we looked up at the TVs above us, and then they shut all the TVs off. The Jumbotron got shut off, and that's when we seen all the people coming on the ice. And we're like, what the hell just happened? They didn't even repeat it. And then as we're walking out, we're like, I don't understand this. Why did they shut the TVs off so we can't see the replay? And as soon as we got into our car, that's when they started talking about how they thought it was his foot was in the crease. And I'm like, boy, did we get just ripped off?
Oh, man. Sharon, thanks for the call. That's something that even still to this day, I'll be watching games with friends or family or what have you, and a controversial play happens, and you know how like they'll quickly then go to the next play. We don't get to see a replay, and everyone's like, wait a second.
Right.
What do you mean?
Yeah, no. And then
that's something that still I think a lot of people think goes on today.
That's where it brings up to like the modern aspect of this. Mm-hmm. Like, if this game happened last year,
In like the height of the social media age,
could you imagine like looking at a tweet from like Elliot Friedman saying like, hey, here's a video of the goal. I think Toronto is going to take a look at this one.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see everyone just start celebrating, and then like everyone's going off the ice, and
all of a sudden,
the Jumbotrons are shut off. Like, it would be a riot.
And the realization hits that it's like, oh, the game is over with. The Dallas Stars have won the Stanley Cup. And like everyone at the time has already now seen the slow motion replays. You're sitting in the arena at that time too. You don't need the Jumbotron. Just go on Twitter.
Right.
You're immediately seeing it. You're already seeing, if especially if you're, you know, you're on Twitter a lot, you are following the Elliot Friedmans, the Frank Cervellis.
Or even just like
anybody.
Anyone talking about it, anyone at home watching it.
All of a sudden, like, you're already seeing.
Because everyone at home can rewind it and like freeze frame it and videotape it with their phone. Like
now we're sitting here. Probably what actually happens is, I think Lindy Ruff, you'd still probably have him like during the celebration yelling from the bench. You've probably got most of that arena still inside booing the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that becomes maybe one of the more memorable moments of just the Stanley, you know, the Stanley Cup is being presented to Dallas, but instead of the home team, because it is ultimately is one in Buffalo, instead of the home fans leaving and the Dallas fans staying to see it, you probably do see.
There couldn't have been many Dallas fans there, could there? Like,
maybe.
I don't think there were that
but
many.
But instead, I would imagine you see the Sabres fans stay to make that as uncomfortable as humanly possible.
I mean, to be fair, and I don't know, I don't want to go too far with this because, like, I don't think that the people of Buffalo would want to do this or anything like that. But we all just saw, if anyone watched the ESPN 30 for 30 on the I'm Just Here for the Riot, the Vancouver-Boston series from 2011, when Vancouver loses to Boston in Vancouver and, you know, a riot ensues, and that's like the first time there's like Facebook and all this stuff. I think it would have been something similar. Like, I think fans would have been that upset. Like, if you think about the emotion and the things people are feeling about this game 25 years ago, like, imagine in real time you're watching all this happen, you're knowing that it's wrong while you're still in the arena and you're watching the other team get the Stanley Cup. Like, I'm not saying everyone would freak out, but I'm sure there'd be enough people that it would cause some sort of a ruckus and some sort of a problem.
Yeah.
Like I said, I would never advocate for that sort of thing. Watching that documentary from the Vancouver stuff was really eye-opening because it was, again, I was 12 when that happened, so it wasn't like I was really like into, you know, whatever happened in Vancouver. But at the same time, like watching it now, it's like, wow, like that was life-changing for people.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think people are that passionate about sports that, you know, if something like this happened today, like it would be something kind of similar. And I maybe I'm wrong. You know, like I'm not saying it would have. I'm not saying it should have. But it is interesting to think about, like, the public reaction to that sort of thing.
Because how much has changed in the world in 25 years. I mean,
right,
now
exactly, yeah.
You don't really even have to watch sports live to basically get the entire story of a sporting event.
Yeah.
No matter how small or big
you
the
didn't
event
have,
is.
You didn't have to watch any of last night's game to understand that Connor McDavid was a force to be reckoned with, had 4 points, and the Oilers have all the momentum going back to Florida. You could have watched a 15-minute highlight reel and gotten all of that from that little short highlight
from
package.
Twitter. I mean,
yeah,
like
exactly, in 5 minutes after the game too.
Yeah, where, you know, nowadays, I think especially too with how long the game was going on, I think that would have been a story in and of itself of an elimination game. It's 3 a.m, we're in triple overtime, everyone's kind of like almost like grouping together. Especially, I mean, we, you know, Josh, me and you were online, we know how much like Sabres Twitter almost galvanizes each other, almost like lifts each other up.
Yeah, we all fight, but then we're all like, guys, we're all here for the same reason.
Yeah, like, so like you could imagine it going into double, triple overtime of just like everyone's like, no, we're all staying awake tonight.
Yeah,
we're all doing
right.
this together.
Like, I can picture the tweets from the intermissions of like, so how's everyone staying awake during the second overtime intermission?
How
like,
many cups of coffee are you on?
Right, yeah. Because we were almost at the end of the third overtime. There was like 5 minutes to go in that period. So it's like, and the Sabres played in one of the longest games in NHL history when they were in that series back in like the 80s, I think it was, against the Devils.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, there's a lot of things that go into just that aspect of it as well, of like it being so late at night and so just stressful and long and everything like that. But it's just, like I said, it's interesting to see like what, or interesting to think about like what would have happened if it was something like today, or if they had internet and the instant replay.
Yeah.
Rather than seeing it on the Jumbotron and get it turned off, like, oh, that's weird, I guess the game's over. Like, that's probably kind of what most people did because it was 3 a.m. and they just saw their team lose the Stanley Cup.
And it's like, all right, I'm going to bed. I got work in the morning, what
but
have you.
Nowadays, with how we have it, where it's everything is so instantaneous, if that Jumbotron goes off, oh, I'm just going on my phone. And if I can't get on my phone, someone around me will find it and we'll be able to all see it.
A point you brought up in the first hour that I've kind of like dove into more is like this 99 Sabres team is kind of like more like right place, right time to go on a run.
Yeah.
I didn't realize like how much they had dominated the playoffs up to the Stanley Cup final.
Oh, yeah. It was like
they go through Ottawa, no problem. It's a sweep.
Yeah.
Even against Boston, they win 4-2. They lose game one. They then win the next three games, lose to Boston in game five, but then win in game six. I mean, so really Boston is just trying to survive at that point. Toronto is a gentleman's sweep, a little bit, you know, less of a gentleman's sweep. They lose game two, but they dominate there. And then they do win game one of the Stanley Cup final. I could imagine after game one, going to work June 9th, whatever day of the week that was, being like, all right, we're going to win. Like, we're dominating. We're playing well. It feels like it's our time. And especially with hockey, with how much it is sort of a random sport, I think statistically it is the most random sport. There's probably a feeling of, we got this. It's our time. We are playing the best hockey of anyone.
That was kind of the vibe of Florida last year. Remember?
Yeah.
Like, with...
they have a random guy in Alex Lyon all of a sudden becoming a folk hero.
Yeah, and then Matthew Tkachuk.
Yeah.
Like... That was like Florida last year. Florida was the...
Was it against Carolina where he had like three overtime goals in that series by himself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it was Carolina, but I remember what you're talking about. But that, it's the same sort of scenario. I mean, Florida in that last year in this case was the 8 seed, where in the 99 series, the Sabres are the 7 seed. But it's the same kind of concept of this team that has almost nothing to lose. They just go for it and they, hey, we're just here. Like, let's just go do it.
Yeah. I'm kind of pulling back on my point, though, of like, we're just happy to be here.
No.
You're right. Like, 7 seed, you sweep the 2 seed.
Yeah.
You run through Boston and Toronto, arguably one of your biggest rivals.
Mm-hmm.
No problem. Get out of my face.
I think it's fair to say that maybe at the beginning it was kind of a feeling of like,
yeah,
hey,
sure.
Like, we're here. Let's see what happens.
Yep.
But after that first series, like, it's like, yeah, no, this is, we're here.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, that's like, what, like, just, again, I'm looking at it on Wikipedia. I'm not going through, like, each game and stats and how the actual feel of the games were. But just looking at this, it does kind of feel like a team that was going on a miracle run. And I will say, just as, like, a poetic kind of justice thing, there's only other way it could end, but, like, a very controversial play. For a 7 seed to make the run they did, beating the teams they do, it's like, of course. You're either winning the cup or you're going to leave infuriated. You know, a name for the game and everything. This almost kind of just feels right.
Yeah.
In kind of like almost like a sick way, it kind of feels right. Let's go back to the phones. We've got Rob on the line. Rob, good afternoon, my friend. How are we doing today?
I'm good, guys. Do you guys get sick of me? Huh? Calling
no.
all the time?
No.
Do you like it? Do you really like
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
It's always a pleasure talking to you guys. Now I know you guys' birthday, so I pay attention.
There we go.
Josh is on the 16th, and you're on the 20th.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the remarkable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Seventh.
There we go.
Am I not right? And then, of course, Evan, his is on November 9th, and you got Sal's, who's on April 4th, so, yeah.
You're better than me. My girlfriend got mad recently because I forgot her birthday, so you're better than me.
Nah, you know, it's funny you brought this topic up today because, you know, Chris Drury's from Connecticut, and I always rooted for Chris Drury, and a bunch of us did. And I used to play back in 99. I was actually playing on a inline, played roller hockey, inline skate, had a pair of missions, real nice missions. And I remember the next day after that happened with Buffalo, we were all arguing about it. You know, it was just disgusting. And I blurted out, he didn't deserve to raise the Stanley Cup. And if anything, they should cross his name off of it. Just etch right through Brett Hull's name.
Yeah, baby. You know?
Yes. That's what I want. I want that as a Christmas present this year, Rob.
Just etch right through his name. You don't deserve it, you know. And it was disgusting. I remember watching it, and as it happened, and it was just like I felt so disgusted when I saw him raise that. It was like no way. And then you know, Lindy freaking out when you were bringing that up. That brought back memories, and now it's like, you know what? Yeah, I'm ready for this season with Buffalo. Definitely, definitely. I want to see what happens. So thanks for bringing that up. And you know what? By the way, Buffalonians, they have more class, so there's absolutely no way that they would tear down their own city.
Mm-hmm. Rob, thanks for the call, man. And that's the thing, too. Vancouver did it twice.
Right, yeah.
2011 is just the most recent one. They did it twice.
Yeah, no, and like I said, I didn't want to sound like, you know, like, that's what we would do. But, like, you got to think, like, in the moment. Because that's what I took away. One of the things I took away from the 30 for 30 I watched on it, the I'm Just Here for the Riot, was a lot of the people were just, like, there was a few people that obviously, like, started it. But then, like, a lot of the people were just like, yeah, like, why not? You know, let's just do it. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, that's where, like, you know, obviously, like, you're in the moment and mistakes are made and things like that. Like, but it's just, I don't know. It's just how, sometimes it's how people can be.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
absolutely.
Where it's like a spur of the moment and you just.
Emotions are flying the whole thing.
Like, you're all over the place. You've gone from my team is in the Stanley Cup final to what my team has been wronged by the entire league and they're responsible for it. Like, mm-hmm. Those people down there are responsible for it. Like, that kind of sort of thing.
Yeah. Randy tweets in pain. In the following season, the Flyers score a goal through the side of the net, but the in-goal camera angle was not available until later. Brutal.
Ugh.
I guess it's the thing, too, is, like, as much as I'm somebody, and I do stand by this, I don't like replays, especially slow-motion replays, and I think it's part of why, like, even there's, like, but when you get them, it is taking the human element out. You are seeing exactly what you need to see, which you wouldn't be able to as an official, an ump, whatever, what have you, in those moments. And that, I think, does make it more painful. You are getting the exact look you need. Whether it helps your team or hurts your team, there is that finality to it. And then when the sporting event doesn't go that way, it makes it all the more painful. It's why even now, like, you'll see on Twitter, I know we've all gone to a bar and watch a game, when the officials are replaying something in the NFL or whatever, there's always somebody in the bar that'll go, I don't trust the officials. They're still going to get this wrong with the camera angles, and oftentimes that does happen. And I think that's what makes it more painful. And I think that's, you know, I think Randy's onto that too. And then a goal the next season, the Flyers score through the, you know, to the side of the net, and you're just like, come on.
Really?
It's like, not available till later?
Yeah, right. Like, we just went through this. Like, we've talked about this.
It is brutal. It's very painful. And I think that's why it's able to stick, is because you do get the exact replay you need to see it. And you're wondering why no one else is seeing what you're seeing. And that, I think, is easily the most painful part. I'm seeing it. Why aren't the people getting paid to do this, seeing it?
And right. Like, why aren't you doing your job?
No, it's brutal. It's brutal. Let's go back to the phones. We've got Leo here on the line. Leo, how are we doing today?
I'm good, guys. Thanks for having me on. So the story I've got, I was working for New Era Cap back in 99. I was a product manager in charge of NHL product. So we had the on-ice caps that year. So I was sitting up in the suite, and the goal went in. We all got mad and left. Well, a week later, you know, after, you know, obviously seeing multiple replays of all this, I was in New York City at NHL headquarters and meeting with the two guys from, you know, in National Products that I dealt with. And what they had said to me, well, so I'm sitting in their conference room. It's a glass-walled conference room, and Gary Bettman goes walking by. And jokingly, I said, hey, bring Gary in here. I have a bone to pick with him. And they go, they'll look at me, and they're like, shh. They close the curtains, and they're like, okay, between you and me, you guys got screwed. And I looked at him. I said, what do you mean? I said, you know, I know it was, you know, in the crease. He said, well, so the two of them were down at the Zamboni entrance. When the goal goes in, the horn goes off, they wait for a signal from the production that says go. They open up the Zamboni entrance. Everybody rushes on the ice with the cameras and then the T-shirts and the hats. By the time they realized, you know, that this was a controversial goal, the genie was out of the bottle already. Mm-hmm. They, you know, mm-hmm. And the ice was flooded with people. So they basically told me that goal should have been disallowed and the game should have continued, but they couldn't do anything about it because it was just too late. So now fast forward another month. I'm in Miami for a product manager's meeting with NHL Properties. And I get in a little bit late. The Bills were playing that night, so I was going to contemplate going to the Bills game in Miami. I sit right in front of the podium, and Bettman comes in and is speaking. And he's like, he starts talking about the historic game and, you know, the series and how great it was. And then he's like, anybody here from Buffalo? And I sheepishly raise my hand, and he points at me. He goes, it was a good goal. I'm like, oh, no. It was just horrible.
And because he leans into it. I think that's the thing. Leo, thanks for the call, man. I think that's the thing. I said it in the first hour, because we had a call similar of just like, when everyone's flooding onto the ice, what are you supposed to do? Tell everyone to leave? I think Leo put it perfectly. The genie's out of the box, mm-hmm. or it's out of the bottle. Like, that's what we've got now. And I think as well, and I might get some hate for this, but like, for Bettman, as the commissioner of the NHL, he cannot say the league botched this. He can't. To keep the sanctity of the league, he cannot say the league screwed this up. I think it's a little mean that like anyone here from Buffalo and go, that's a good goal. That's a little mean. That's a bit of a knife to the heart.
That's aggressive. But I think Gary.
But I think realistically, I would sit there. You know, if I ever hear Bettman talk about it and go, yeah, it was a good goal, I would expect nothing less. He has to keep the sanctity of the league. I think they also know, too, of like by the time, yeah, that all of a sudden we're seeing it going, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. Because, Josh, like we brought up, if it's Hull running into Hasek and then scoring, it's different. Everyone's anticipating, okay, here the penalty, goal total interference, what are we doing? Like, that's mm-hmm. okay. A goal increase, that's a bit different. He's just close to the net. He's packing the net, going to get a rebound, what have
at the,
you.
At the
he's
time.
At the time. So there's not necessarily that immediate reaction of, ooh, something's wrong here.
Right. But when you look at the replay, there definitely is that of like, oh, wait a minute, wait a minute. And I also wonder, too, because like when you're watching the replay, the crease is slightly faded. Like, it's not like like when we see an NHL crease today, it's like a bright blue. Like, you can tell that's the crease and you're inside of it. But like, at the time, one, your camera quality is not as good. Two, you've been playing for six periods, almost seven periods at that point. So the ice is probably not in good shape. It's also the middle of June. So, like, it's interesting to like think about, like, was it partially because of the fact that maybe they couldn't see it? Maybe they couldn't tell.
Always.
Maybe it wasn't so much of a, oh yeah, that's fine. Of a, hey, like, we're looking at it, but like, we can't really tell, so let's just give it to the goal scorer rather than, you know, reverse it.
It looked good at the time.
Yeah.
Let's just assume it was good at the time. And then, mm-hmm. of course, the replays come out. And again, this is 99 compared to 2024. Replays were slower back then. Maybe not by much, but it obviously took some time. Where now, like we said, like when we were talking about, you know, what would it be like today with social media, it'd be instantaneous. People in Toronto would see that immediately. And all of a sudden, like Leo was saying, you know, they're waiting for the signal from the production guy to, all right, go. That production guy's not getting the signal yet of like, all right, we're good. He's getting more of like a, hold on, hold on, hold on. And the officials probably are also getting the ear, hold on, hold on, hold on. And then we probably do have a different outcome. But instead of 99, it's not as quick. At that point, people are flooding the ice. The Dallas Stars are celebrating. Now all of a sudden, the Zamboni doors are open. People are coming out. Confetti is falling. And what's happened has happened.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've got to make do with what has happened. I don't think it's right if that story is true that Bettman, you know, pointing out a Sabres fan and going, ha ha, Gold's good. It's not right. But also Bettman, as commissioner of the NHL, has to keep the sanctity of the league. He can't just go, yeah, our officials really screwed the pooch on that. Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
I guess we'll replay the game. Can't. That's just how it is. And it's terrible that it happened for Buffalo. But I think if the roles were reversed, Buffalo was leading that series 3-2, and they score an own goal. It's the same situation.
Yeah.
No goal, especially if it's at home. Not a chance is that getting called back. It is right. It is standing regardless.
Exactly. That's an interesting – it's not that I've never thought about it, but I don't think about it that much. Like, how do Dallas fans
feel about it?
Because I feel like the majority are like, yeah, we have a championship. Like, that's our
Stanley exactly
Cup.
Where I would say. Like, that's exactly where I would say.
Like, that's our Stanley Cup. But, like, you got to think, like, there's got to be some just, like, reconsideration of, like, yeah, well –
Well, you know,
maybe
why
it was no goal, but we still won by terms of the league. But then it's like, then it feels like an asterisk. You know what I mean? Like, it feels like, yeah, we won, but the league kind of said so.
It might also be like, a little uncomfortable because that's their only one.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be one thing if it was like they had won before and then they'd won like two after or something like that. And it's
or even just a few after.
Yeah. And it's just like one of them that's in there. It's their only one.
Yeah.
And so there might be some Dallas fans that are out there going, yeah, and we shouldn't even have that one, should we?
Right.
And these are my favorite fans, the superstitious fans, where they're like, we only have this one, and now we're cursed to not win because we shouldn't have even won the one.
That's fine. You can stay cursed. It's
fine. I know. Those are my favorite fans, like the superstitious of like, this is now our curse.
Sorry, not sorry. You are cursed.
803-0550 is the number to call. Zach Jones, Josh Mitt here. Loving hearing your stories on 25-year anniversary of No Goal. We were barely alive at the time. Loving to hear stories about what you remember from that time, even the months afterwards and 25 years on, how you still feel about it. We're here until 3 o'clock. Still looking for your calls. 803-0550 is the number to call. And you're listening to WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.